Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in once again for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday. Hannah, you're in all week.
I am.
You'll be in for today's show, obviously, and then tomorrow, and then both on Thursday and Friday.
10 to noon.
You're in for 40% of the show.
Yes. That's all they trust me with.
All right. So it's you and it's Dane Neal, who is your partner over at Flavor HD.
Yes.
And you're filling in from 10 to noon.
Ironically, he will also be here tomorrow, but just for a sliver of
the
show
segment.
For 11 to 11:30 for Flavor HD, in which case I will walk to the other side of the console.
Oh, all right. That seems fair. That seems right. You were very excited today when you came in, and I love the reason behind this, because this isn't the kind of thing, like when you're a kid and you get news like this, it's no big deal because you're a kid. But when you're an adult, this is very exciting news. Tell everybody what you experienced.
I paid $1.82 for gas last night.
I don't know why that's
a gallon.
So great, but
yeah, that's not
fantastic.
A liter. It is outstanding.
I didn't think when gas was right around $5, this is a little over a year ago, a year and a half ago, it was around $5, just below $5. I thought the days of ever seeing even $3 gas were long gone.
Long gone.
You'll never see that again. And here we are in Chicago, the city that
the
I believe
has... The
week
of a holiday.
Right. Right. Where normally they would make gas prices go up a little bit because they've got you. They know you're traveling.
Yes.
So you're going to pay a little extra.
Right.
That's phenomenal.
It was... I had to look at it twice and then... I mean, I was going to pay what I was going to pay.
Right.
It's one of the things that you don't shop right. around for gas. Maybe you do. I don't. But I went... $1.82. Now it was $1.829, so I guess you could round it and say $1.83.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, I was really low. I was in terrible traffic yesterday going home, so I wasted a lot of gas. And so I got there and I had to fill up almost my entire tank.
Yeah, at that price,
it's a bargain.
I would try to make a deal with the guy to. I go, what would it cost me for the next 6 months? I just want to secure a gas price.
Pay in advance, like you do your people's gas bill.
Well, do you remember for a while? And I don't think they do this anymore, but Priceline, that's the service you can use that William Shatner does all the commercials for, and he's part owner of now. Did you know that?
Yes,
they made a deal with William Shatner. He's a part owner of Priceline. So for a while, you could buy gas futures at Priceline where you would essentially say, I want to secure the price of gas that I'm going to pay for the next month or two or 3 months.
That's a great thing.
You would
thing.
Lock in a price.
They, can
they
I do
did that
now?
No, I don't think they do it anymore.
Now would be a great time.
Yeah.
This would make me happy.
Yeah.
Because do you see it going any lower? But who saw it going this low?
I'm shocked by that. And like I started to say before, we pay, because of various taxes here in the city and in the state, we tend to pay about 20 or 25 cents more than whatever the national average is. So is the national average like $1.60 right now? Is that possible?
I did not look at the $1.60 national average because I was too busy doing a jig about my $1.82 price. Other people were posting. Now we have a text from 217 and you can text into 312-981-7200. Thank you for your text. But $1.76 in Champagne from.
Wow.
Right. So, 847 asks, where is $1.82? Costco's throughout the area. That's where I filled up
and
at Costco.
And you don't have to be a member there, do you?
You do.
Oh, you do.
You do have to be a member right, or at least have a friend who is.
Okay. So
to go with you.
That's a slight difference. So
but
without being
your
a member,
timing was excellent, Hannah, because with today's shoot down of a Russian jetliner, or not a jetliner, I apologize, a Russian fighter by Turkey, oil prices have been on the way up pretty solidly.
All right, so now I need to go take the other car this afternoon.
Right. I'm interrupting to tell you that, but also to tell you now that officially the state's attorney is saying that first-degree murder charges have been filed against Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke. He was involved in the shooting, of course, against Laquan McDonald, a 17-year-old, the subject of this dash cam video, which will be coming out presumably tomorrow or perhaps even later today. But charges now formally have been filed, and Van Dyke expected in court later today.
That's a crazy case, and you and I were discussing this off the air. We're going to talk about this a little bit, about
Absolutely.
The ramifications of releasing this video. There are some who say that just because of freedom of information, that this is a video that should be allowed to be seen by people. Other people say this is nothing but bad news because it's going to very possibly incite some rioting and some trouble, if not in the city of Chicago, certainly in other places. There's a chance of that. So we'll discuss that a little bit later on.
Yes.
Okay. A lot going on today's show. We'll explain more if you want to jump in. And actually, let's take a quick phone call because somebody wanted to discuss
And the
this.
Texts are going crazy
I would
as
think.
Well. Barbara, you're on WGN.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that we live in Wilmington, Illinois. And our gas has been anywhere between $1.13 and $1.19.
Wait, do you live there in the 1960s? Where, that's today's prices?
That was the beginning, like, 2 days ago.
Really?
How far is Wilmington?
Yesterday, it went up to $1.99.
Oh.
For the holiday.
In one quick day. Huh?
In one quick day.
But those prices are...
Those are thieves.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you can
Well,
say
but
that.
Normally for $1.19 for Wilmington, I have to figure out the distance and how much gas it would cost me to get there to fill up.
To
it might be a nice drive.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have doctors. My husband is ill, and we have doctors in Kankakee.
Yeah.
And Bradley and Riverside. And the gas there is always 20 cents cheaper than it is in Wilmington.
Wow.
Because of various taxes, I'm guessing, right? Is that why?
Yeah, right. Even in that little section there of Bradley and Riverside, it'll go up 2 or 3 cents from one little town to the other.
Yeah, right.
And all you're doing is crossing the street.
It doesn't seem fair, but I know that goes on. Barbara, thanks so much. Have a great holiday.
You too,
Take
guys.
Care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, a quick break and then more discussion on this and other topics through 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Hannah, yesterday you and I got in a lot of trouble after the show because we gave away a Tree Time tree.
That's why I was in such bad traffic, because we were getting berated upstairs.
We were called some names, none of them appropriate for air, because they said to us, you cannot give these trees away.
I cried.
We said, we don't care what you say. We're going to do whatever we want, and they called us doo-doo heads, which seemed inappropriate because none of us were 4 years old.
Don't bring it up again.
No, I know it's very upsetting. Today, we may give away another tree if we feel so inclined.
Okay, fine, but I don't know if I can deal with it.
We'll see what we can do.
No, it was great.
You were excited yesterday because you stopped in a gas station, and gas was $1.82 for gasoline for your car.
Gasoline for a gallon.
Right.
Not
this
a liter.
This wasn't for Mountain Dew. You weren't getting a bottle of Mountain Dew. You were buying gasoline for your car.
That might be more expensive.
Probably would be.
To get a...
Bad for your engine.
Yes.
And don't I know that for experience?
Yes.
Do not put Mountain Dew in your car.
No, it gums it all up.
So $1.82. Now, when I was growing up, I grew up in Oak Forest, and there was this thing, and I guess they do this at most corners where there's more than one gas station. There was this gas station war where if one of them raised or lowered the price a little bit, like, and sometimes it was by 0.2 of a penny, then the gas station that was kitty corner from it would compete with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this went on all day, every day. Mm-hmm. Whoever worked at the gas station would look across the street at the Citgo and go, uh-oh, I got to move it up 0.1 cents.
Did they just leave the ladder in place?
Yeah, there was so always a guy up there.
Run down.
Hey, Joey, another 0.1 cents. Ugh. Why can't we just put Mountain Dew in cars like Bill Leff does? Because they're bad for your engine, Joey.
They did it like the tote board, where they would just rip the next page off and drop that price.
Sometimes Jerry Lewis would sing a sad song, and he'd go, let's see that tote board! And they'd turn around, and then Joey would change the number.
it was crazy.
Well,
I did not compete. This is a street, it's a Costco, and there happens to be a gas station that I passed on the way to the Costco gas station, because that's where I always get gas.
Right.
It seems to consistently be a few pennies or a dime less. And at this point, I fell over and felt like I was ripping them off.
Right. Did you apologize to them?
No, because they weren't
Gentlemen,
there.
I'm taking advantage of you in this deal. You have to understand that.
Again, I was too busy doing a jig.
I like, every once in a while, you'll find a place that is both a gas station and then they have a substandard car wash in the back of the gas station. So for the honor of having your car brutalized by their car wash, gas is then 15 cents less per gallon. Even though it's a dangerous car wash.
Do they charge you for the car wash then?
Yeah, they make that up? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in soap suds. Somehow that balances out.
Costco is, it's a fine gas station where I go. I don't know. I've been to others. I think they're all pretty the same, but they don't.
Buy gas in bulk there. It's not like everything else they sell. You can just buy
What your gas tank can hold.
Yeah. That seems right.
Which is nicer than some of the other things. But But there's no car wash.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm-mm.
There's a kindly gentleman that walks around and makes sure everybody's safe, and that's about it.
I always am also impressed. This is another quick gas station story, and then we'll move on to other things, I promise you. I love when you go to a gas station that advertises all over the gas station that they're now under new management. Because what does that make any difference to you when you're buying gas? I love the way you guys display your oil. The old guy who used to own this place, he did it in a pyramid, and I thought that was stupid. But you do it in like a wall of
it's
oil.
It's arced.
It's way cooler than
really
the
nice.
Old management.
Ton of texts coming in. $1.78 in Peoria, $1.99 in Sheboygan, or $1.85 in Germantown, Wisconsin. This is great. All over the board, it's less than $2 a gallon.
But it's so strange. Take that, Europe. It's so weird, though, how it's influenced by nearly anything. I mean, what Steve just announced in the news is a very serious story, and this will certainly affect the price of gas, and it's legit. But other things happen where you go, well, why would that affect the price of gas? It's just so arbitrary how the price just rises and falls for no reason. And I've talked about this a couple times when you have not been here. The idea of summer blend on gasoline always seems strange to me. And a couple years ago when I was doing the night shift here, I had this guy on who worked for some governing body. Was it OPEC that at some point was deciding the distribution of gasoline? So mm-hmm. He had some job related to that. And I go, explain the summer blend to me, because every summer we end up paying an extra 17 or 18 cents for what they call summer blend. And he laughed. He goes, they process it differently. It doesn't cost them any more or less. But they somehow decided to pass that lack of savings onto the consumer, even though it doesn't cost the oil companies anything extra to produce what they call the summer blend. We were paying extra for it.
Just like Goose Island with the summer shandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
not good.
Doesn't
cost them any extra to put a little wedge of orange near it, does it?
I don't think so.
Don't put Mountain Dew in your gas, by the way. Did I mention that?
Nor Goose Island.
It's bad for both of them are bad for you. All right, a full show today, a whole lot coming on. Later on, a man who spent a month in a clown motel, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say, but it's true.
I
spent a month there.
We've been talking about this story for 2 days, you and I off air,
yeah.
And Kevin, and I have so many questions.
Yeah. Like
most of which I will be too freaked out by the story to ask.
I wasn't sure that clown motels were even a thing until I found we found this story.
Well, anymore.
So we'll talk to him. Right. There was a time where half the motels in the world were clown motels.
Sure.
Oh, the times have changed.
Where do you think the clowns stay?
Right. They have to stay somewhere. All right. A break, some news from Steve, and then a lot more show coming your way. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley and for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley, who is in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy will be back on Monday. A couple of things that you should be aware of. Thing number one is this. We believe we are just moments away from a press conference. And, Steve, you're going to have to help me with this because I don't know the exact timing on it. President Obama and President Hollande of France, a joint press conference talking about, I guess, how they're going to move forward after the attacks in Paris last Friday. Correct?
President Hollande is making a series of stops around the world, really. He's in Washington today. He will go to Moscow to talk to Vladimir Putin, I think, in a couple of days. And then in between tomorrow, meeting with Angela Merkel in Germany as he tries to build a coalition, or at least tries to coalesce some of these world powers into some form of unified action against Syria. We expect to hear from President Obama and President Hollande, really any minute, so I haven't heard yet. Usually I can get a 2-minute warning. I haven't heard that yet.
Okay.
But, you know, the day's events are an example of how difficult this is, because you have Turkey, who is fighting ISIS,
right,
downing a Russian jetliner. Now, the Russians say they are fighting ISIS as well, but, you know, the White House and many others will say the real targets of their attacks, one of the primary targets has been these the Free Syrian Army, the people who are fighting Assad,
right,
who would presumably also be fighting ISIS. So Russia wants to keep Assad at the expense of the Free Syrian Army. The U.S. and others think Assad should go because he is fueling the hatred there that is supporting ISIS. So even though it seems as if there are a common enemy in this situation,
it's trickier than that.
It's a very tricky situation.
Yeah. What's your gut instinct on it, Steve? What do you think will happen?
I
hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's. I think most think that there probably should be from the Middle East more commitments when it comes to ground troops, because you know the Western forces can continue their airstrikes, and France has increased its England says it will do so as well, but the military experts say that ground strikes don't hold territory. So you can force ISIS out of its strongholds, but unless you send soldiers in there to keep them out, they're free to go back in.
We had, Hannah and I had Kristen McQuarrie on of the Tribune yesterday, and we talked a little bit about this. And I said to her at the time, Steve, I really think because of the series of events and the timing of it, this will become a major political issue, a major campaign issue for the next year as the campaigns play out for both the Republicans and the Democrats. You see it that way too, don't you?
Well, it's funny because, everyone said at the time, and how many times have people said this, that this could be the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But his numbers have only gone up. His program is to bomb the, pick an expletive out of them. That's what he says he wants to do.
Yeah.
Ben Carson does seem to have been hurt in the past 10 days or so. Marco Rubio is kind of holding his own, and Ted Cruz moving up. So you would think it will be a major issue in the campaign, but who knows how it's going to impact the campaign.
Hey, Steve, yesterday we were hearing that Belgium and Brussels were on essentially lockdown. Are we still hearing that? What's going on over there?
Well, they're under a state of alert, and many of their institutions had been closed yesterday, and many still are today, although I know that museums and other places are beginning to open in Brussels today. They think that one of the surviving bombers is there. They seem to have some confidence in that, and so they're trying to find him. And so I think that was part of the reason for the lockdown there. But I think you're going to see that sort of easing in the next few days.
Can I ask you a question? While I was gone last week, for people who don't know, I was in Costa Rica last week, and the news was a little bit hard to come by. Every day we were given, we had signed up for what we thought was an American newspaper when we got there. And what it was it was somebody who worked at the hotel would find stories online and then print them out to us on paper, and we would get
a
stack of four. It was essentially like a newsletter, so we would get a stack of four pages every day of stories that they thought of were of concern to us. So at some point on the stack of paper last week, we were told there was a threat to both New York and then Washington, D.C., but I don't know how any of nothing happened. But what was the basis of those scares?
ISIS released a series of videos and statements. Look, as they're wont to do.
Yeah,
they do that quite a bit, and there certainly is not impact every time that they make a threat. In the days right after the attack in Paris, there were a number of fearful sort of things or scares.
Sure.
There was a German soccer stadium in Hanover was evacuated because of concerns. There was never anything found there. There were several flights in the U.S. that were stopped or slowed because of concerns. That's just what happens after a big, highly publicized attack.
Yeah. But nothing came of either of those events, luckily.
No,
we were happy to find out. Okay, good. That's very, very good. So, again, if you're just joining us, we've been told that sometime in the next few minutes or possibly a little bit longer, there will be a press conference as President Hollande of France and our Barack Obama get together to let you know the state of affairs there. And we'll cover as much of that as we possibly can. So that's coming up in just a few moments.
Okay. I think what we're going to do now is take a break, get these in, make sure we are prepared for this upcoming press conference.
Very good. Keep it right here. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right, here's where we stand right now. We're still waiting on a press conference between President Hollande of France and President Obama. They'll be speaking sometime. They were scheduled, actually, to start a little while ago. That press conference has not started yet. So in the meantime, we will check in, as we do every Tuesday, with Bridget Carey of CNET. Bridget, how are you? Everything good?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Wendy's off today, so it's Hannah Stanley filling in. Please give her the same love and respect to give Wendy, please. That's all I ask.
I'll do my best.
All right.
Hi, Bridget.
What's going on in the tech world, Bridget? What should we know about?
Well, everyone's talking about this historic rocket landing, how the company Blue Origin, which is funded and run by Amazon's Jeff Bezos, has, for the first time, we have a rocket that has gone up into space. This rocket could carry humans, and it landed down in one piece. This is something that Elon Musk with SpaceX has been trying to do, although, to give him credit, SpaceX, what they're trying to do is much more complicated than what Amazon's Jeff Bezos is trying to do, which is do something more touristy. You know, this thing went up into the edge of space, a capsule on top that holds humans. I mean, there was no humans inside this test, of course, but people would be in the capsule. It separates, and you float there for a few minutes above the Earth, you know, with weightlessness. Then it all comes down, and the whole trip is 11 minutes. This is a very quick thing.
That's it. It's like an amusement park ride almost.
It's a really good one.
It's a really good amusement park ride, yes. So the cost, do we have any idea yet, Bridget, what the cost of this will be and a potential startup date?
He's saying that he's not ready to say the cost until another year. I mean, they're going to, this company, Blue Origin, is going to be doing a lot more testing for the next year or so. I expect it not to be cheap.
yeah.
But it is something interesting as a whole for space exploration. When you have a reusable rocket, we always throw these things away. It's very expensive to do that. And now we, you know, technically we've proven that, yes, it is possible to reuse a rocket. You don't have to throw the whole thing away each time. So this is pretty cool.
Well, how frequently or how quickly can they reuse the rocket? Do they have to rebuild it so they can only do this once every week or month?
You know, those kinds of details, still, you know, still too early to say all that stuff. You can see the video online. They have the whole video, and you can see it, the bottom of the rocket looks a little singed because of all the jet fuel. But it's probably something that, as long as they can, you know, however long it takes to get the next capsule, you know, put on the top for people to travel in, you know, it might not be that long, and however long it takes to refuel. I mean, the cost is still, it's still going to be costly to refuel that thing. This isn't like, you know, going on an airplane, but at the same time, it's definitely going to change things. Of course, with SpaceX, what they're trying to do is actually make these rockets reusable for dropping off cargo when they go to the space station, and that takes a lot more force, and there's a lot more involved there, and that's why he hasn't been so successful, whereas this just kind of goes to the edge and back.
For an 11-minute ride, and yet there's waiting lists. People have been on waiting lists for years to just experience this, huh?
Oh yeah. Well, even Virgin has been, you know, talking about this for a while. But as far as Amazon goes, not Amazon. I keep wanting to say Amazon because it's Jeff Bezos. But as far as Blue Origin goes, they do have a website where you can sign up to be among the first to get information. But you know, it's still going to be a few more years of testing.
All right, I'm going to ask the next question because Bill is far too busy signing up. But as we come, we're heading towards Black Friday, and Amazon is doing something with their passwords.
Okay, so there has been some news that broke this morning that has a lot of people raising a couple eyebrows. Several Amazon customers have been reporting to our sister site ZDNet that they're getting alerts in their email saying that they have to reset their password for security precautions, and that something may have exposed their password, although Amazon's not saying it has been exposed. Usually when a company forces you to reset a password, it's because there's some sort of breach that happened. Amazon's not saying there's been a breach, but rather this is just being extra cautious, and they have no reason to believe passwords were improperly disclosed, but something could have been. And I guess it kind of casts this shadow of doubt of like, okay, well, everyone always just assumes Amazon is safe, but you need to always be extra careful in what you're doing.
Sure.
And there's something that all of us can do, you know, to really protect ourselves, and that's use something called two-step, or sometimes it's called two-factor authentication. It's really using two passwords as a backup to really protect yourself in case a hacker or you accidentally, you know, spilled the beans on what your password is. They need to really have your cell phone with you too. You could do this on Facebook, on Google, and for the first time a couple days ago, Amazon released this, where if you're logging in from a new computer, it's going to send a text message to your phone with a special digit code. You have to enter that code in to make sure it is really you logging in.
All right. I have not received this email. Is there any chance that they could be scamming or phishing with this email to the people who have received it?
That is something that now you have to watch for, because with a report like this, there certainly could even be more people, you know, phishing, you know, because this is in the news. Never click on any link inside of an email saying, we need your password, can you please re-log in? You know, during the shopping season, this is a high time for people just doing these phishing schemes where they try to trick you. You get all these emails from shopping this and shopping that. You forget what you buy. You might be clicking too fast, whether it's a fake UPS delivery alert or a fake Amazon alert. Just if you think something's weird going on with your account, do not click any link in the email. Go straight to that website. Go to Amazon.com and log in and see if there's some sort of alert, because no company will ever ask you to click a link to reset your password within an email.
Bridget, I was just going to ask you, you answered part of it, but with most people doing their shopping, there's such a huge shopping season between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's got to be the busiest season for that kind of online security scams, right? I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the season for that. And also, other scams you got to look out for are silly things. We tend to be naive and think it's innocent to think, oh, I got a letter from Santa.
Right.
And you think, like maybe a relative sent it, or it looks cute. And download this attachment. You know, you need to have your guard up and, you know, look for any red flags, you know, that might be a little alarming, because it is easy to kind of be in a happy spirit and just trust everything. And it is just the worst time for those kinds of attacks.
All right. Now, speaking of something that's silly, although many, many people take it very seriously, Star Wars is everywhere and Google's getting on board.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There is plenty. If you haven't had enough of the Star Wars movie hype already, and, you know, no nerd hasn't, there is just so much more to fill your life with Star Wars before the movie comes out next month. If you go to google.com/Star Wars, you can sign up to be either on the light side or the dark side. And when you do, little surprises will be in your email, your calendar, your maps. You'll find little icons that change to look like Star Wars-related things. If you use the traffic app Waze, they have a special Star Wars setting where if you're driving along, you're going to see little droids and lightsabers as you go, and you can get directions from C-3PO. So, and Google owns Waze. So pretty much all the Google products are just finding little ways to surprise you in different ways. If you go on Google.com and do a search for the opening line, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, you'll also find a little Easter egg surprise there too today.
I love that they're doing this. It seems like the developers would really get into this. Mm-hmm. Is this something that's a cross promotion, or is this something Google just did to let their people have fun?
Well, Google is run by geeks, and so what they did is they wanted to do little things, and so they reached out to Disney, and they made a partnership where Disney helped them put it to the max. So there you go.
It sounds like a good
yes.
idea. Bridget, what do you have coming up on the next report there at CNET? What do you have?
Well, we're also talking about, aside from the rocket landing, that Dell made a bit of a security blunder, but there is a cure. So if you have a Dell laptop, you're going to want to do a little research. Check to see if your computer might be affected by this bad security certificate that it came loaded on the computer. Dell is offering, it's going to be rolling out an update that you can download to patch it. So, and nothing else, if you have a Dell computer, just check to see if you have any updates in the next day or two and download them.
Bridget, thanks so much. Have a great holiday. Great talking to you.
Thanks, you too.
That's Bridget Carey from CNET. It's the CNET Daily Update right there on your computer. We'll take a quick break. Steve with the news, and then the press conference that we've been told has been delayed a little bit, but it'll be coming up a little bit between President Hollande of France and President Obama. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Hannah in for Wendy on WGN.
Roast all over his chest. Excitable boy, they all said.
It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder. In the studio with us right now, the original excitable boy, David Hochberg, joins us right now. David, I hope that song doesn't offend you. It's never my intention to offend you. It's just that when I think of you, I think of that song. It's automatic.
That's very nice of you. I appreciate that. And my mother's listening.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah, she
excitable mom?
Yes, and she appreciates that too.
I know she's a big Warren Zevon fan.
Absolutely.
Here's a surprise to some, but not to you. Black Friday, of course, the day after Thanksgiving, when everybody shops like crazy because we're told we have to shop like crazy. But this could have a great impact on what you're doing in terms of buying a house or refinancing a house, doesn't
it? Yes, because basically when you go out on Black Friday or any time, all the stores are going to do what? Offer you further incentives for you to financially destroy yourself. Okay, open this and save another 10, 15%. Open this, buy one, get two free.
Mm-hmm.
And they want you to open up that line of credit. Oh, you know, 0% financing for the first 90 days or 0% finance for the first 6 months, because they want you to go that 91st day and whack you for 18% interest rate. So
right.
Here's the deal. If you've got a loan in process, what all lenders have to do is pull your credit before you close to make sure you haven't incurred any new debt. So all of that debt that you're about to take on by going shopping and opening up new credit cards will be
right.
used against you when you go to close your loan, which could potentially disqualify you from closing your loan. I have a guy right now went from 702 down to 675 because he opened up a bunch of credit cards. He disqualified himself from a loan. I have to call him today. Happy Thanksgiving. You're not going to be able to close your loan because you took on more debt and your credit score has dropped 27
so
points.
So you think it's a good thing you're saving $80 on a widescreen TV, but in the long run, you're losing hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars on your home loan.
Correct.
Right?
And disqualifying yourself from possibly closing on the loan you're working on now, especially refinancing or purchasing a home, you'll be left out in the cold. So be careful. Yes,
all right. Ma'am. So does the opening of the new credit lines damage it as much as the putting dollars on it, incurring more debt, even if you pay it off?
It's a combined whammy, okay? Because here's the deal. You open up a credit card, there's an inquiry. You're putting money on a new credit card, double whammy, because you're opening up a new line, loading it up, because most of those lines are like for $300 to $500,
right.
Okay, limits. And when you're out shopping, what do? You blow money because it's like, oh, let's buy one and get, oh, look, we'll get Johnny and Sally and Susie and Peter this too. And then boom, you're already at your limit. So not only do you have the whammo of opening up a new credit card, which is bad, okay, it's also now a maxed out credit card, which is worse. Now, if you go home and pay it down because you saved your 15, 20%, that's great. You don't know when the credit reporting agencies are going to get the report from that credit card that you paid it off. Okay, I just pulled credit for a client of mine. He's like, well, that's down to zero. That's down to zero. That's mm-hmm. down to zero. I'm like, well, that's great. It's still showing $30,000 with the credit card debt and your 608 credit score. So all because you paid it off yesterday, it doesn't mean that those credit cards report right away to the credit agencies. They each have a specific day of the month that they report. And if you miss that day of the month when they report, you're still showing a balance. Your credit scores are down because it still reflects the current balance.
It's okay. Better for your credit score to only have one or maybe two credit cards as opposed to five or six or seven, isn't it?
No, that's incorrect.
It's incorrect?
No, and that's why you should stick to doing 8 minutes of comedy. And here's the deal.
Right.
Okay, because if you have five or six and they're all down to zero.
Yeah.
And you're paying them on time, and
yeah.
you're keeping low balances,
yeah.
that's better than having two fully maxed out.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all got to do with credit utilization.
Okay.
So if you've got four or five that are open, okay, keep them open if you're trying to enhance your credit. Pay the balances off. Keep them at zero balances. And don't shut them down, because if you shut them down, you lose availability.
Yeah.
And the availability is what makes your credit scores go up or down, because if you're fully maxed out on two, okay, it's not good, as opposed to only 10% maxed out on five.
When Terry and I were buying our first place years ago, we were mm-hmm. buying a condo, and whatever my credit card bill was for the month, I paid it off.
Right.
And that went on for years. And I thought, well, this will be a really good thing for my credit score. And it was explained to me at the time that was a terrible thing for my credit score because they wanted to see me have to pay some debt.
No, whoever told you that
sense?
Was a moron and didn't know what they were talking about. You want no? You see, because I always get that. Oh yeah, well you should keep a balance on your credit cards because it'll be good. Well, sure, it's good for Visa, MasterCard, American Express because they're getting juice on the money
yeah.
for not only everything that you carry over but everything you charge during the following month. So they're
yeah.
just blasting you. So whoever told you that, don't take any financial advice from that person
because right.
they're a complete knucklehead. Okay, you want to get credit cards and drop it down to zero and paying. Use them, pay it off. Use them, pay it off. Use it. You know, a lot of people have debit cards.
Right.
Okay, and they're like, oh, I've got a debit card. I'm like, well, that's fantastic. You're getting no credit
yeah.
for using the debit card because it's coming right out of your checking account.
Right.
It's not
right.
showing that you're responsible. It's just showing that you're responsible managing your money in your checking account. You're not taking any on your credit card debt. The banks love you for your debit card
yeah.
because there's no risk to them. Right?
Right.
Okay, you're charging 25, you got 20. decline.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you got to put back $10 and then it'll go through. There's no risk with the debit card.
Yeah.
Okay. The credit card is where the risk.
You know what's cool, David, is the veins in your forehead spell out Happy Thanksgiving. I don't know how you do that. Yeah.
Well, keep it going. It's Happy Kwanzaa here on my neck.
He's about to rip his shirt off.
God help us all. The cops will come to arrest me. 15 years ago, it'd be a better look.
But
today, not so much.
Some of the debit cards are debit Visas or debit MasterCards. That
right.
still doesn't matter.
It's all crap. Right. Because if you turn it into a charge card, right, you got to convert it into a charge card to get credit on your credit report. If it's a debit card, it doesn't mean anything.
But it gives me the option. Do you want to take this as credit or debit?
Charge it.
Okay,
right.
I do, but that still comes out of the checking account, no?
You get a statement, then you have to pay the statement. If it's debited, it gets debited from your checking account, boom, right away.
Okay.
If you charge it, you get a bill that says, Hannah, you charged $352, and then Hannah's got to write a check or pay it online, $352. That's different. Okay, you get credit for the charge. You get nothing for the debit.
All right. So the debit-credit combos, good as long as you utilize them the correct way.
On the credit, correct.
Right.
And as long as you utilize them responsibly and pay them off if you want to get your credit good. Okay, because what a lot of people do is they buy a home. Great. 60 days to close, 45 days to close. Then what do? They go furniture shopping.
Mm-hmm.
We tell all of our borrowers, keep the credit card in your pocket until you have the keys. On your way home from the closing, stop off at Smith Brothers and load up the house.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Don't buy a damn thing until after you close on the house.
It'll mess you up.
It could. I had a guy blow himself up. He bought $40,000 worth of furniture at 4% minimum interest. Okay, minimum payment on 40 G's, $1,600.
Right.
All right, $1,600.
Right.
That's the equivalent of a $250,000 mortgage payment. Boom. You got to put the $1,600, to qualify. I'm like, what part of don't apply for any credit or buy anything until after you close? Didn't you understand? He's like, well, I was buying a home and we needed furniture. I'm like, get a blow up mattress. I'm like, what are you talking about? Stop at Goodwill. Call Judy, the Goodwill lady and get something to live on.
Yeah,
until
the goodbye girl.
The goodbye girl until the Smith Brothers are done with your furniture.
David, the person who's transcribing the show wants to know how you spelled.
Same as blah, blah, blah.
David Hochberg's here. Get him while he's calm, folks. 312-981-7200. You can call in or text in any questions or comments. He's here to help you. His website, www.wgndavid.com. I'm going to give the phone number out, too. Is that okay with you? 312-751-1333. Again, it's David Hochberg. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. David Hochberg now has an IV going. He's a lot more stable. Everything's fine.
Paddles are out.
No worry. 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. And it's Hannah Stanley, who's in for Wendy Snyder, who's on vacation until Monday. A lot of people want to talk to you, David. There's a lot of people on the line. Like I said, that phone number is 312-981-7200. Take a call, Hannah. Who would you like to
speak
with?
I'm going to go with Janet. Janet, you are on WGN.
Hey, Janet.
Hi, this is Janet from Chicago. First of all, I want to say, Bill, I love your show. Hannah's doing a great job, but I really miss Wendy.
Oh, you're so nice. Thanks, Janet.
Yeah. Secondly, David, I recently applied for a mortgage for a home, and I did get it with no problem. But when I looked at my credit rating report, it had a bunch of companies that I no longer do business with, retailers,
right,
that I haven't done business with in 20 or 30 years. And I had zero balances with them. And I asked my attorney about that, and he says, well, he said, they might apply it against your credit rating even if you have a zero balance. I said, what?
No.
No.
Okay. Your attorney, again, the attorney should stick to being attorneys. And, here, if you've got a card from, let's say, a store that you haven't used in the past 5-10 years, okay.
Montgomery Wards.
Yeah, I was going to say Montgomery Wards, Woolworth, Woolco.
Venture.
Yeah. I learned to drive in the Venture parking lot in
Corvettes.
Niles. Corvettes. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. Wow. And, you're bringing it back. So what I would do is I would go with the cards that you have and that you use, Visa, MasterCard, American Express,
sure.
Discover, right? I would go to them and ask them to increase your limits for the same amount that you're going to decrease by closing those cards for the past 10 years that you haven't used.
I should call these other places and close them?
If you're not using them, but before you close them, increase your availability on the other cards that you're keeping and that you use. That way you continue to maintain the same credit availability in your overall profile. Does that make sense?
It sure does, and thank you so much for your help.
No problem. Happy
Shannon,
holidays.
Shannon, have a great holiday.
You too. Thank
Take
you.
Take care. Bye.
All right, next on the docket, let's go to Lisa, who has a question about home equity for her car.
Hi. We're in the market for a new car, and I'm wondering what your thought is on either financing with the auto company versus taking out a home equity line of credit and paying for the car that way.
Sure. Well, you've got two options. Number one, if you have good credit, a lot of the car offers right now are offering year-end specials. And if you've got great credit, you could get 0.9%, 1.9%, 2.9% interest rates. Those are fixed for 4, 5, 6 years. Okay. I would much rather you see you go with something like that than a home equity line of credit, which is a variable rate loan that could be adjusting sometime in the future. But if you do want to compare and contrast a home equity line of credit, you could call up Margie at First Midwest Bank. You go to WGNDavid.com, and it'll take you right to the website. And Margie at First Midwest Bank will be able to review and compare and contrast the benefits. I would still take out a line of credit if you don't have one. It's good to have it for an emergency reason. Okay, Lisa?
Oh, okay, thank you.
All right,
Thanks, Lisa. Do people refinance cars the way they refinance houses? Does that happen? Yeah,
sure they do. Yeah, because if you had bad credit and you had to go with like a road loans company,
right,
with 19, 20, 25%. I've seen people tell me that they've had car loans at 25% interest rate, and then all of a sudden they go from a 560 credit score, which is really bad and really credit challenged, up to a 680 to a 700. There's car companies out there that'll refinance your car loans. Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you could save a ton of money. Or when you get up from the 530s, 540s, to the 680s, to the 700s, then you qualify for a line of credit. Then it makes more sense for a person like Lisa, who's got a car loan at such a high rate, to refinance with a line of credit. But if the car companies are giving away dough right now at 0.1, 0.9, 0.9 to get rid of the 15s, take that money if you qualify.
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right, next up is Sandy. You're on WGN.
Hi. David, I have a question. I own my own home. It's paid for. I pay off all my credit cards every month.
Okay.
I have a good credit score in the 800s. My question is, now it may sound trite, but when I got my last Discover bill, my credit score came down 15 points.
Okay, what, to 785?
No, it's still in the 800s.
Okay.
Okay. Why?
Okay,
why?
Here.
If everything is...
Sandy, I'll tell you this, okay?
You're
healthy, right? You woke up, you're able to get out of bed under your own power?
Be happy.
Okay, be happy. And you've got a credit score that starts with an 8, and it came down from 830 to 815?
Yes.
Okay, I'd worry about some other things. You have nothing to worry about. It constantly changes every day, you know, depending upon you might buy something. If it starts with an 8, sweetheart, you got a lot of other things to worry about. That's not one of them.
Thank you. And one more question.
Sure.
My airline rewards card,
okay,
which I haven't used in 2 years.
Okay.
They sent me a letter saying they've increased my
limit. That's great.
I don't use it. Should I cancel it or should I just?
No, we just talked about that during the break. Keep it open.
Just
keep it open. Don't use it. You're fine. You're fine. And that'll actually help you get your credit scores back, those 15 points you lost by having that extra availability.
Okay. Wow. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Good luck, Sandy. Thank you.
Thanks,
Happy
Sandy.
Holidays.
If it starts with an 8, life is great. Johnny Cochran, right? Am I right, David?
Absolutely.
That's what he used to say all the time. www.wgndavid.com. And again, David's phone number, 312-751-1333, is over there at Pearl Mortgage.
Thank you. Making your
life a lot easier. Have a great Thanksgiving. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Good seeing you,
Hannah. A quick break, and then we'll talk to Steve Bertrand and find out what he has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Hannah Stanley. Hannah is in for Wendy. Wendy's taking the week off. She will return on Monday.
Wendy.
You're in. Yeah, Wendy will return on Monday. You're in, just for clarification purposes, you're going to be here pretty much the rest of the week. Is this correct, Hannah?
Yeah, I'm sleeping here.
You'll be sleeping here in the studio.
Which is nice, because the fine folks from Earl's just left a whole lot of food.
Yep, that you've crafted into a small bed and pillow. So I don't know how that's going to work
refrigerated
for your skin, so but whatever happens, happens.
And then we have MyPillows for that.
Yeah, it'll be easy.
I'm good. No, I really am. I'm here tomorrow with you for the regularly scheduled Bill and Wendy program, subbing Hannah. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll be here with Dane Neal, 10 a.m. to noon.
All right. And then Rob Hart will return, I think, from noon to 3. Is that,
that
how that
is
goes?
How it is.
That's on Thanksgiving
that
and
is
Friday.
How it has been presented to
okay.
us. And I believe that after 10 o'clock, I take the mic over from, can you believe it, Steve and Johnny.
Oh, how about that?
I know.
I know they're filling in for Steve
thrilled.
Cochran for a few days. They
I'm
did this last year.
So excited to see them.
Yeah.
They're
it'll
the
be
best.
Fun. It'll
yeah.
be a lot of fun. We go to Kim Gordon in the newsroom for just a second or two. Kim, explain to me. I know that this has been a day with more than one press conference. We had the press conference earlier with the president of France and Barack Obama talking a little bit about the terrorism that's gone on in France. A second press conference, a local press conference, is scheduled sometime in this hour, correct?
Right. It was supposed to take place at 1 o'clock, but you know how those things go. They always run late. But we did hear just a little bit earlier from the Fraternal Order of Police president and also the lawyer of Officer Van Dyke. So they came right to the mic after the court hearing, and now we're waiting for Anita Alvarez.
All right, so we will cover that, I'm guessing, at some point. Kim,
yes,
is that
we
the
will
game plan?
Carry it live. You can hear it right here on 720 WGN and also WGNradio.com.
We were talking about this privately off the air, and we thought we should talk about it a little bit on air, so we'll do a little bit of that right now. The ramifications of releasing this video have been debated a little bit the last couple of days, actually longer than the last couple of days, but it's really come to kind of a head the last couple of days, whether or not this video, which is incredibly damning, showing the shooting of this teenage kid, whether this is in the best interest or not to be released. On one hand, you have the idea of there's the freedom of America, where we have the right to see this sort of thing if it took place and it's on camera.
See, read, hear, any of the kind of controversial type stuff, Freedom of Information Act gives us that ability to at least request it.
Right. So that's one side, and that release is supposed to take place in the next 24 hours or so. And then on the other side of it is, well, when and if you do release this videotape, you have the potential for some sort of demonstration or worse. In Chicago or other cities, a terrible thing has happened and it's all on video, and this will only incite some potential rioting or things of that nature. Any stance from you? Where would you go with this?
Well, I think the stance that I lean on the side of more is that of the family. It's their loved one, son, cousin, brother. They do not wish for it to be released.
Yeah.
And made statements of such. And I think it's very... I keep going back and forth on why Rahm Emanuel has not yet watched this video.
I'm shocked that he hasn't seen it. Wouldn't you think, all things being equal, that would play a huge part in his decision as to whether or not to grant the public the right to see this video is him seeing it?
Yeah, today's Chicago Sun-Times, it is on page 7, there's an article that says, Rahm, no justifications for cops' hideous act. We've all heard what is contained within this video, what happened. The city settled a lawsuit close to a year ago because this shooting just occurred just a year ago. It was October 20th.
There was a very short time span between the shooting itself
and the settlement.
And the out-of-court settlement with the money that changed hands.
Right. But according to this article, it opens by saying the mayor claimed he has not seen the dashboard camera video a judge has ordered the city to release, but he has a very strong stance in not releasing it. I get it. We've seen protests and violence break out over things that could be considered less damaging than this video.
Right.
Ferguson, Baltimore.
Yeah.
And he does not want that to occur here.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
I feel like he could have gotten in front of this a little bit more.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. And I was positive at this point he had seen it. He still, as he claims, and it's in the paper today, he still claims to have not have seen it. I'm so torn on this. I hope certainly that anybody who's incensed by what they see in this video behaves themselves. It won't make the situation better. Trust me, to riot and demonstrate and make the city miserable, it won't.
No, we're going to take a quick break. So let's do that now. Hannah Stanley filling in for Wendy Snyder with Bill Leff and WGN.
It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley. Hannah sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday. We've just been covering the live press conference with State's Attorney Anita Alvarez talking about the Laquan McDonald case, the Officer Van Dyke case. We learned a lot in the last half hour or so, so let's try to digest a little bit of it. I'm going to ask Steve for your assistance on some of this. Steve Bertrand, of course, was listening along with all of us. A lot was said, and I want to go over a couple of the points with you, if you wouldn't mind. One of the more interesting questions in the press conference, the first half of the press conference was Anita Alvarez kind of going through a timeline of what occurred on that day about a year ago. The second half of the press conference was a Q&A with various members of the Chicago press. There was a question asked toward the end, Steve, that I thought was one of the most important questions, and it was answered adequately, but I want to just go over it a little bit. Somebody asked the question, would the release of this video, the video that they're talking about mm-hmm. that is supposed to be released tomorrow, would that potentially taint a jury? There's a couple of things to bring up in this point. I would imagine it would definitely taint a jury if you're seeing what seems to be a clear-cut case of a police officer shooting a kid that was heading in the other direction. I would imagine that it would taint a jury to some extent. However, that's the same tape that they would definitely show during the case itself. So exactly how does the tainting fit into all this, do you think?
Well, I think some attorneys will tell you that when you're assessing jurors, it's not so much whether they're ignorant of the evidence and what's happened, but rather whether they're able to put aside what they already know and think and consider that evidence afresh.
Right.
So, I think that would apply in this case where this video is going to be out. When they try to seat a jury, they're going to look for people who can, even if they have seen the video perhaps several times,
right.
can they still consider it an open mind, both arguments when it comes to that trial and around the video?
And to be quite honest, I have no intention of watching the video.
You won't watch it.
No, I find the fact that there's video of this, while criminally it can be very useful, right? I understand why we
right.
have dashboard cameras. But I would just find it incredibly upsetting to witness this. This is a person who was alive and then is no longer. That
right.
that would be very upsetting for me to watch.
Oh, it is. It how could it not be, of course,
right.
to see somebody get killed right there on camera? However, you almost, I think, to make any kind of an opinion of what went on here, you almost have to see it, even though it's been described so graphically.
No, but I think that I think that she'll be able to find, or whoever goes forward with jury selection in this case, they'll be able to find people who either have not seen the video yet,
right.
and then, as you said, might be needing to watch it during the trial.
Right.
Or people who have watched it and don't really have an opinion or are able to view it, to view other evidence
right.
in fairly.
I just don't know how you could, if you see this video, I don't know how you could not have an opinion. Wouldn't it be impossible to watch a kid get killed and not have
an opinion
one way or another?
I have an opinion and I haven't seen the video.
Yeah.
Well, that's an excellent point, Hannah. We all have, we do have an opinion of what happened and we haven't seen the video. So we're all going to go into it with an opinion one way or another. The question is whether we can set our opinions aside and consider the arguments as they are presented to us.
And
right.
Steve, go over this with me. When they're selecting a jury, to what extent are they making it a priority that person, whoever the potential juror is, does or does not already have an opinion on the case? Do they really stress that to the nth degree that's paramount that you not have an
Yeah, I
an
think
opinion?
If you're, if you're a defense attorney and you're looking at a juror and they say that, yeah, we think your guy did it.
Yeah.
That you're going to get rid of that juror. Sure.
It's upsetting, but the fact that I have an opinion based on hearing what is contained
sure.
within the video,
right.
I think goes back to a little bit while I'm confused. I'm still confused and slightly disappointed that the mayor has not watched the video.
Yeah.
After having reached out to community leaders asking for them for their assistance in keeping the peace.
Well, yeah. What's in it for the mayor to have seen the video ahead of this? I mean, I don't want to say he has a degree of deniability, but, he can sort of stay out of it. Having said I haven't seen it, I know it's, from what I'm told, hideous, I think was his word.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We need to prepare for this. We need outreach and all of that. But I don't think he needs to have seen that to make those statements.
Steve, one of the questions is the idea that when and if this is, and at this point, we're with when it's released tomorrow, it has the potential to incite a lot of anger. And I don't know how it couldn't, right? So I guess one of the questions that nobody's asking, but I keep thinking, is if this is a black police officer shooting at a black kid or a white police officer shooting at a white kid, does that alter the chain of events? Does somebody who's making the decision when and if to release this tape say to themselves, well, we don't really have any racial issues here. It's the same race shooting another member of the race. Does that play into it a little bit or not?
I don't think so. I mean, you have someone who's, you know, sworn to protect, serve and protect, unloading apparently 16 bullets into someone, and many of them while the person is lying on the ground. I think that even if it's an African-American police officer shooting at an African-American kid, you know, there still is going to be a huge outcry, obviously.
Yeah.
And there still is going to be a huge outcry about the way, police treat people in parts of this society.
I agree with you, a huge outcry, but I disagree with you that race doesn't play into this a little bit.
Yeah? I agree. Okay,
but you didn't ask me if race. I mean, you asked me kind of a backward way. I think there would be outrage either way, Bill.
Yeah.
I think it would be diminished, though, because it would still be police violence and police overreaction, potentially, in a situation based on what we've heard is contained within the video. But we've been going through a year plus of the hashtag Black Lives Matter.
I know.
It's going to have a racial implication or an overture, and that's going to be part of what the anger and the protesting is because of.
Anita Alvarez spoke of what she called the Independent Review Authority. I'm unclear because I've heard that phrase before, Independent Review Authority, but I still don't know exactly who that is. Are those members, Steve? Do we know?
That's an agency, city agency that looks at cases like this.
Oh, it is.
Independent being, you know,
they're not
under the direct control of the police superintendent.
Okay. All right.
The question I liked the most of that was asked of Anita Alvarez at the end of the press conference was, you said that these investigations can take up to 2 years. You've done this right at a year.
Mm-hmm.
Have you missed anything?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that she was incredibly confident in saying, no, this is the right choice. We've made this choice a few weeks ago.
Right.
This is where we were going, but we chose to do it ahead of the video release so that it didn't look like we were responding.
Right. And if you heard, you know, she said they were working with the federal government.
Yeah.
The federal government is, you know, much slower in these things to build a case. And she said, I decided once the order came out for releasing the video to come out with the state charges rather than to continue to wait with the federal government.
It really would have looked as if we were reacting versus being proactive in these charges, although it still kind of does.
Yeah, the timing is still a little suspect, isn't it? That
yes.
All of a sudden this is wrapping up as the video is going to be released. We've got some calls and some texts. We're at 312-981-7200. Let's start out with Craig. Hey, Craig, thanks very much for calling.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions or a question and a comment.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
The police guns, I don't know a thing about guns. Do they hold that many bullets, or do you need a reload?
I believe she said he stopped to reload. His partner then told him to hold his fire.
Yeah.
And
he reloaded.
No, he did not. I don't think he did reload. No, he had stopped and was considering reloading.
And that's when
when the officer, the partner, stopped him.
I didn't know guns held that many bullets. I'm stupid when it comes to guns. The judge in his right mind would order this to be released knowing it's going to inflame so many people. What judge in his right mind would do that?
Well, it has to do with legal precedent. You can't set the legal precedent that sometimes it's okay to release it and sometimes it's not. It's based on freedom of information. And long term, he was making the right choice for the legalities of it.
Right.
The sensitivities of it. His family didn't want it released. We understand we're in a time in this country, at least, where we have racial unrest, we can, right? I think that would
sure.
be a good way to say it.
Yeah.
And there is going to be parts of our community that are really, really incensed and upset and possibly protesting and violent.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. You got Thanksgiving coming up. You're going to have riots in the street.
It is possible.
That makes no sense. I'm done with coming to the legal stuff too, but wow. You figure they would do it quietly somehow.
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving would be about the time to do it quietly.
A lot of times, Craig, Hannah and I were saying off the air, if there's some very negative news that somebody's putting out, they'll put it out late on a Friday
Usually on a Friday night or a Saturday, but this is one in the middle of the week, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But it's a time where we're not going to have commuters necessarily as high numbers into the city. So it's not going to necessarily impact the same grouping of people as it might.
Maybe not. Craig, thanks so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. Great questions.
Thank you.
Take care. If you're just joining us, we're talking. It's Bill Leffin. Wendy Snyder's off this week. Hannah Stanley's sitting in. We're talking about the press conference that just took place a short while ago with State's Attorney Anita Alvarez explaining the Laquan McDonald timeline of what went on a year ago in his shooting. And then the aftermath being that this videotape is being released, we believe, tomorrow.
We have it is tomorrow, I believe, is the deadline. It needs to be released by tomorrow.
Sometime between now and then.
Right. 630 texted in, do the police officer's past complaints against him come into play during a trial?
He does have a history.
He does, and I actually have some of that in front of me, again, from the Sun-Times. There have been 18 citizen complaints filed against the officer, Jason Van Dyke, during his career. He has been disciplined none times, zero disciplines until now.
That's interesting.
Yes, and there were 8 complaints against him for excessive force, 2 involving the use of a firearm, in addition to this shooting. And the city of Chicago has a history in covering for this or settling for this. In 2009, a federal jury awarded $350,000 in damages and $180,000 in attorney fees in a lawsuit alleging Van Dyke and his partner injured a civilian at a 2007 traffic stop.
So that is a checkered past. Would you agree?
It would definitely come up they're not going to be able to hide it.
Right.
You know, if I'm pulled for the jury, I've already read this. It's been published in the paper. Yeah. But it is something that they would present as he has a history of violence.
Yeah.
Or excessive force. I can say that.
We've got more calls. We're at 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Hannah. Take any of the ones you like.
Okay, let's go with Pete.
Pete, hi. You're on WGN. Did you have a question or a comment?
Well, my comment is this, is that, first of all, I don't think justice is blind anymore. By releasing this tape, where does the officer in question get a chance to build his defense? And I say that in the sense that let's take the officer out and put you or Hannah in the position. What would you want to have happen? It's so disturbing what we're doing in law enforcement now or in the legal community that we don't let the facts play out for people to be objective to. The whole pool is going to be tainted, in my view. It's horrible.
So, Pete, can I ask, if this went your way, who would have access to the tape, if anybody? Who would be allowed to see it?
Well, not until the case has been decided by a judge or jury. I think that's the easy answer.
You wouldn't even use it during the case itself? You wouldn't show it to any jurors? You would?
Well, obviously, again, it's not until the case is over with, and that's something that the jury would decide based on the evidence or what's in the tape. For you to show that, I'm not saying you, but in general, for the media to show that tape, and it'll end up on NBC Nightly News, it'll end up on CNBC,
of course.
That's preposterous. I just find that so un-American. I really do.
All right. So do not release this tape tomorrow. That's what you're saying, essentially.
Obviously, no. Yeah. I just think that if you were standing in this officer's shoes, you would say, let's let this play out in a court of law. Don't judge me now.
Well, of course you would. If you were the police officer who's on that video shooting someone 16 times. You know, I mean,
we're putting heavy emphasis, Steve, on the fact that he's a police officer, and I don't distract from that. But again, put yourself in that position. If that was Hannah doing that on the side of the street, would you release it so that people could see Hannah shoot somebody or not? Only because it's a police officer is really sliding in there. Again, my main focus, justice ought to be blind, and it's not. We're putting it out there for everybody to see.
All right, Pete. We appreciate it. Thanks very much. It's obviously very tricky. You know, the police officers can certainly use tape against us. I mean, in something as mild as a traffic stop, as you know, if you go through a red light camera or something like that, they're going to use that video against
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And one of the differences in if it were Hannah rather than a public worker,
official.
You know, it's public documents because it's a public worker.
Right.
You know, and we also confuse sometimes, I think, the idea of the public good, if this is in the public good. You know, being in the public good doesn't make it nice or enjoyable or pleasurable, but it still can be of service to the public.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the argument that can be made here.
Yeah. All right. Here's what. Thank you, Steve. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to take a break. Steve with the news. Later on in the show, Ryan Burrow is going to join us at 2:35 to file a complete report about the press conference that Anita Alvarez had a little while ago and about the case itself. So that's coming up in a little less than a half an hour. A lot more coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley sitting in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder. Wendy will be back with us on Monday. If you're a fan of Weekend Workbench, and why wouldn't you be, we have some great news for you. Great news part number one. The hosts of that show, Ryan Salzwedel and Sean Bueno, are sitting with us here in the studio. I'll let you tell everybody the other good news, guys.
The good news right off the bat is that...
Hold on. We'll put your microphones on. It'll make the good news even better.
Yeah, that would help. I was like, I'm not hearing myself.
No, yeah. It was a dramatic pause.
Of all, we appreciate you having us in since it's such a slow news day here
in
Chicago.
Yeah, there's nothing going on here in town. So
yeah,
fill some time.
We didn't think about that when we booked it. But the news is we are prepping for a season 4 of Weekend Workbench on WGN. So yeah, so that's breaking news. We saved it for the Bill Leff and Wendy.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
We appreciate it and congratulations. That's really big.
Thank you so much. Keeps me out of the breadline one more year, the good graces of the wife.
Now Shelley Long will no longer be playing the role of Diane on the show though, right?
No,
she's leaving the show.
No, and unfortunately Coach passed away
No.
So we had to replace him. But we got a really good good looking blonde kid coming in, Woody.
We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, definitely.
That's great. what will happen now three seasons in, every time I see the show it's enjoyable. Are there changes in store for season 4?
We're actually so last year we adopted the theme. We've grouped the shows into different themes, and we'll do technology 1 week, and we'll do plumbing the next week.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the same thing again this year because the people, the fans that watch the show, you really responded well on Facebook, and that's where we get most of our ideas because it is a DIY show. It really is do it yourself, and we want to know what kind of projects people are doing, and they reach out to us, and that's kind of how we mold the show, and that's what we're doing right now. So if you guys or anybody listening out there that watches our show has some great ideas for DIY projects that they want to see in this upcoming season, we're starting to form that right now.
Has online, obviously you guys are getting ideas from Facebook, but Pinterest has gone crazy.
Yes.
In the past 2 years. People are going, I want that. I want it to look like that. Is that affecting what you guys are doing and getting
ideas
from? It is.
In fact, we're going to have a segment on every week that's going to be the creative side of DIY. So, we don't really get into the craftiness and whatnot, but we definitely, people like to, create a space in a home and personalize their home. And a lot of those projects are going to be DIY, whether it's in the kitchen or bathroom or dining room or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And so there definitely is a creative aspect to it. And so about one segment per week this year is going to be mostly creative stuff that you would kind of see on Pinterest. And we're going to bring it to our show and continue that.
Yes. And then we'll have the all steady mold episode like we did. Maybe we'll have a mold sequel this year.
Will there be a mold sequel?
There will be a mold sequel. The revenge of mold,
That was one of our most talked about shows last year.
Yes.
And that's what I really like about the show, because even though they call me an expert on the show, as we're doing the show and learning about these new products, I learn more about what to do
is
around the house.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so our
I'm pretty much
episode,
carrying the show now, Bill.
That's going to happen eventually.
After three seasons, I'm carrying it all now. I am the expert.
Well, people who don't know, and this is really interesting the way they set this up, Sean, you seem to be the one with the expertise in most areas. Ryan, you seem to be the one, like the viewer, learning as we go along, but sometimes it is the opposite.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. We did a segment without Sean last year. We brought in Amy Guth, who does, she had some ideas, some real cool creative ideas, and it got to the point now where season 3, it was like, no, Ryan, you're okay with this saw, or, like a Sawzall or something like that. They're like, you're okay with this saw. So now I am more comfortable. I mean, come on. If I haven't learned anything after three seasons,
right.
I have no business working with power tools or anything sharp and stuff like that. But the good news is Sean always keeps me on my toes, and every year he comes in with new and improved projects that I've never seen before. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing and kind of petrified to what he's going to bring me for season 4.
All right. My only request is barn doors, because that seems to be the big thing, is installing and putting in a barn door instead of your own thing. So I'm putting that in the Facebook page right now. The whole urban rustic barn chic thing.
You get the Crate and Barrel catalog, and that's like a whole section of the catalog is dedicated to that. So we have worked in the past with a lot of reclaimed projects and products, and we absolutely love that. So we're going to put that on the idea list.
I'm writing it on your Facebook right now.
And that is something that the producers and the team is going to look into. And the reclaimed stuff is, I mean, just seems to get, you know, hotter and hotter every year. So I'm sure we're going to be doing some of that stuff.
Have barn doors replaced French doors? Because there was a time where anytime anybody saw a house or apartment, they'd go, this would be nice. We just put some French doors in here and it'll look like a new place.
Yes and no. I mean, you know, the barn door is definitely a great thing to do on the interior side. You're not going to be able to typically use it as like an entry door per se, but it's definitely very popular right now. It's what people want. So.
All right. And is that now? I'm always afraid I'll do something drastic, like put one in, and as soon as it's installed, somebody will go, "Well, that was last year's news. That's not. You can't have a barn door anymore.
You know, you'll wake up to a herd of animals in your living room going, "Wait. So this is why they're here. Okay.
Honey, there's a new in the kitchen. How did that happen?
And the thing is, when you are taking on these projects, you really can't think too far ahead, because, you know, I used to do that in my house. My wife and I would be talking about a different project we were about to do, and we were like, well, that's going to look really dated in a couple of years, but who cares? Go for it. You know, do what you do now, how you want it, live with it. And if it does become dated, which it will at some point, you go ahead and change it up again. So whatever project you're working on is not going to be your house is going to grow and you're going to do different projects and you're going to change things over time. So don't go into this thinking, oh, this is the last project we're ever going to do and it's got to look good and it's got to look up to date for 20 years, because guess what? Nothing will.
Yeah.
Eventually that shag green carpet will come back. So just hold tight.
I told the story about 6 or 8 months ago how when I was growing up, we had a wall in our living room that was red shag carpet. The whole wall was red shag carpeted. Oh, and I thought we were the only ones who had that, but we had tons of texts from people who go, no, my parents did it in 1973. You had to.
Yeah, we had a van like that with the carpeting. And,
really soaked up the cigarette smoke from everybody sitting around with their Marlboros.
Sure.
We are getting a ton of techs that are volunteering their homes for you guys to come.
Oh.
Do you do this on sets or do you go to homes?
It depends if Ryan's doing the project or not. If he's doing the project that week, we're going to keep it on a controlled environment in the studio.
We've done projects at Sean's house. So we did curb appeal projects. We did a water irrigation system in season 2 outside of Sean's house, and then we did some gutter projects too.
Good afternoon, I'm Dolly McCarthy.
Hey Dolly, thanks for calling in.
Dolly's a fan and just wants to say you can use her home anytime you want.
Absolutely, Dolly will be there.
Season 4, Episode 1. When I was a kid, guys, there weren't any shows like this, and then all of a sudden there was This Old House. And then there were 1,000 more after that. How did This Old House become such an influential thing in television?
Well, I don't want to date you, so I don't know when you were a kid there, Bill. But
1951.
I was going to say, when you were a kid, Charles Ingalls built a whole log cabin.
Right.
So, I mean,
that's right.
It's not. I mean, the DIY thing's been around for years. But
it keeps getting more and more and more popular, doesn't it?
Well, it's because we became such a throwaway culture for a while. And I think people like... now we're looking at things, you know, the economy took a downturn in 2008 and people are looking at things going, and then the satisfaction of doing things yourself, you know, saving a couple bucks and doing things yourself. I think that's the real kick right now, and being creative with it. You can do anything, you know, and there's so much knowledge and videos and shows out there now that there's no excuse not to at least try to do something on your own.
And typically, you know, back in the day, repairing your home or maintaining your home was a necessity. Nowadays, the DIY movement is really a hobby. So when people are passionate about their hobby, they're going to spend more time on it, spend more money, be more creative. And that's really what we have. So all this media that goes along with the DIY revolution or theme or whatever you would like to call it, it's just feeding that hunger that people have and enjoyment, because it's their passion and it's their hobby.
Well, and to piggyback on what you guys are saying, I can go in to, let's say, a Pinterest or one of these, you know, HGTV or the TV shows, and see a space that's similar to mine, and they do it 3 or 4 different ways, and I go, okay, that's the one I like. So to DIY it, I'm really just copying what they've already done and I've seen is proven that works.
And that's okay. And you're, you know, I listen to you on the cooking program, the HD, you know, Flavor HD, whatnot. So it's the same thing as your cooking videos and your cookbooks and whatnot. So everybody's going to give their own little twist to it at the end of the day, because not everybody's house is the same. Mm-hmm. But it's just like making a soup or a stew or whatever. So the whole point of the DIY project, I mean, there is that maintenance side with, you know, leaky faucet has to be fixed. But in reality, all that fun stuff like painting walls and doing some carpentry or building planter boxes or whatever it may be, that's fun and that's more of the hobby end of things. And you know what? If it doesn't come out right the first time, that's okay. You know, you learn from it and you move on. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of this stuff is not that hard if you're into it. So it's, you know, people used to be intimidated by projects, and now people are realizing, hey, you know, it's not that difficult, especially if I practice a little bit, and it's giving people, you know, the encouragement and you know, confidence to go out and have fun with it.
It's not brain surgery, although I did try the DIY brain surgery and it did not go
that
well.
That is actually going to be my, my new show, which is crazy that you brought that up.
That's what we'll talk about that. Yes. We will definitely talk about that. Ryan Salzwedel and Sean Bueno are here from Weekend Workbench, which can be seen at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings right on WGN-TV. We'll take a quick break. If you have some questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Ryan Salzwedel and Sean Bueno are here. Many have called them the Starsky and Hutch of DIY projects. And by many, I mean just me.
Mostly because they slide across the hood of the car.
That's right. It gets confusing sometimes. Sundays at 11 on WGN-TV is your best place to see this. When does season 4 start?
Sometime in the spring. I don't know if they have an exact date. We're gonna start up production here now in December, right after the Thanksgiving holiday. So we'll start up production, get as many you know, usually we start up about April, things like that. But like I said, the shows are still airing right now, and then you can also catch them throughout the week. Just check your local listings on CLTV as well, the you know, the sister station of WGN.
Sure. So when you're waiting in line to pay parking tickets downtown, right, or at City Hall, or at the health club, that's usually a great place to watch CLTV. You'll see Ryan and I in the background.
Important tips.
You told me something, Sean, that surprised me a little bit in terms of who tends to be the DIY person in a family. I just assumed for some weird reason it's more times than not going to be guys, but that's not the case.
There's a lot of studies and different reports out there that, you know, it's mostly the women in the household that are really into the DIY projects. And the numbers that I've heard is about 60%. So, you know, there's definitely guys that are into DIY projects, of course, but there's a lot more women than normally you would think of that are into taking care of the home and making the home nice and doing all those sorts of projects with power tools and stuff.
It's creative. And it's empowering when you finish a space and you're like, I just totally optimized what's going on in there.
Right.
Yeah. And it's nice. It's nice that your kids see that women are capable of doing this. I love doing DIY.
I told you when I first started this show, I was all excited because I was in the mood for, you know, just some DIY stuff. So I went out and I bought a jigsaw because I had to cut. We were doing these flower boxes at home. I go out and buy this jigsaw, come home like I'm Mr. Macho Man, you know, to the wife. I'm like, yeah, I bought this jigsaw. She looks at me. She's like, oh, yeah, we got one. You know, I have one in the cupboard. Yeah, over there. So she was like, mine's bigger, you know. But that's just totally it, you know. It's such an equal, just a DIY thing. Anybody who's creative can do it.
Yeah.
312 Texan, I do most of our DIY because I can't wait for my husband to get around to it.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. So we like anybody that takes charge and gets in there. Even I've been guilty of my wife, you know, asking me to help out with a project or whatnot. And my wife is the same thing. She does a ton of stuff around our house, and she's really into it, and she's really great at it, too.
Yeah. Let's talk in terms of resale value to a home. What's the one thing that somebody could do that will automatically make the house worth more money?
Barn doors. Lots of barn doors.
We actually did an episode on this staging for a simple thing you can do. There's certain colors you can change and paint and things like that. Not a huge thing, but you know, like that as far as staging your house for sale and things like that. So we actually have an episode from season 3 where I worked with this lovely woman, and she, you know, we just she just told me certain tones and certain things like that to, hey, you ready to sell your house? These are some projects that you can do to help get it up, get it on the market, get it out there and get it quick.
I would assume you want to go with a very neutral color scheme.
Grayish. I learned that
gray and beige, right?
Grayish was a color. Awesome. Because I was like, is that real?
She's the potential buyer will then put it in their head, oh, if I had this house, I would paint it and then whatever color you want. But you want to keep it more neutral,
and,
don't you?
Yeah, and Sean, exactly. Would be a good expert on this because I always wonder that. I'm like, are people, when they're looking to buy, are they looking for projects so that way they can make it their own? Or are they looking for a finished, you know, home to move into? And Sean's a good guy like that because his company, they do a lot of remodeling and things like that. So he probably knows that better than me.
Part of what we do for our clients and customers is get homes ready for the marketplace. And the conversations that we have with the realtors, it's fresh paint all around, make the bathrooms and the kitchens look clean and up to date, like they've been maintained, no chipping, grout, caulk and whatnot, you know, different things like that. But as far as like DIY projects, like increasing the value of your home, once again, it's kind of dangerous to look at it that way where it's like, you know, I'm going to do this project over the weekend. I hope these bookshelves add to the value of my home because it's probably not going to add that much in the overall scheme. It's just going to make your home more personalized for you.
Yep.
So, in fact, when you go to sell it, the realtor might tell you to take the bookshelves down possibly.
Really?
Well, it, you know, it's just, you know, once again, look at it as like a hobby.
Honey, we're staying.
That's it.
You know, a lot of the DIY projects, you know, it's a hobby thing and it's personalized for you. Yep. I mean, if somebody was going to go out and remodel a house to sell it or to increase the value, you're going to go to like a large kitchen or bath project most of the time or something like that. And that could be a DIY, but that might be a little bit above a regular DIY project for some homeowners out there.
Of course. Guys, congrats on season 4.
Thank you so much.
I predicted this the first minute of the first show. I said this will go 4 seasons. Easy.
You were like, that host.
There's no way this can miss.
He's going places.
Yeah. Ryan Salzwedel and Sean Bueno are the hosts of Weekend Workbench. You can watch it at 11 a.m. on Sundays on WGN-TV. Guys, thanks for coming on a very slow news day. We appreciate it.
Everybody in Chicago, be safe out there, man. We love this city, guys.
Yeah. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
A quick break, and then Steve with the news, and then we will talk about Anita Alvarez's press conference with Ryan Burrow of our news department. That's coming up next. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. An interesting press conference, to say the least. Earlier today, Anita Alvarez, State's Attorney Anita Alvarez, explaining the timeline of what happened in Laquan McDonald shooting about a year ago and what will happen tomorrow or what could potentially happen tomorrow as the videotape of the events are released. WGN's Ryan Burrow joins us right now to talk about the press conference and the aftermath. Ryan, thanks very much for being here.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I know we all listened to it. There are a lot of moving parts going on right now. So let's just kind of take the central focus of what this is all about, and it all surrounds the video that I haven't seen, you guys probably haven't seen. Nope. There are a couple people who have seen it, whether it be high up officials like the mayor or the superintendent, maybe some police investigators, maybe some of these community groups have seen it. I've been told that there are rumors that maybe there is a version of the video already circulating, but this is the center of it all, is this video of the officer, Jason Van Dyke, shooting and killing Laquan McDonald, who was 17 years old. He was high on drugs at the time. We've got pretty good description from Anita Alvarez, the Cook County State's Attorney, on the situation. I was telling you guys off air, you know, she kind of started sequentially and then she had to kind of back up a little bit. But I mean, there was so much going on in there with which officers were pulling up, where Laquan was at any given time, what he was doing at the time. So she kind of had to set it up, and it made for kind of a herky-jerky storyline. But
because there were so many moving parts, we had officers responding. We had the suspect who was moving at the time.
Exactly.
There was – I felt – well, I understand your point. There was a little herky-jerky. I actually felt like she did a very good job of painting the scene when several things were happening at exactly the same time.
Sure. Remember, this all started with a report of someone stealing radios and slashing tires that led police to Laquan McDonald, and that's kind of how this all got going. The officers, eight officers at the time, had been responding. One of those officers, four vehicles, one of those officers was Officer Van Dyke, who was the passenger in his vehicle, only at the scene for about 30 seconds when this whole shooting incident takes place. According to the state's attorney, he had only left his vehicle for about 6 seconds when he started firing, shot for about 14 to 15 seconds at Laquan McDonald, striking him 16 times, his full 16 rounds that he had. Laquan twisted, according to Alvarez, as it fell down and landed on its side. The shots continued. Laquan was on the ground for 13 of the 14 to 15 seconds that the shots were being fired at him, which was, I think, a pretty amazing statistic that they had. Some of the shots that were fired were not actually caught on the dash cam, but puffs of smoke could be seen in those shots. And it was assumed that those were shots, debris that had been coming off of the shots that were fired.
It was explained, Anita Alvarez explained during the timeline, and very quickly, a very detailed timeline, which I think is extremely valuable. We've heard so much about the case, but sometimes hearing it in the exact sequence of time helps us make some sense out of it, if there is any sense to be made out of it. But I think one of the things they kind of stressed was the lack of dialogue in those short seconds in which Officer Van Dyke was shooting at Laquan McDonald. There was very, very little time. It happened almost immediately upon him getting to the scene there.
Exactly. And the investigators who they've interviewed, the police who they've interviewed who were at the scene, said they essentially, even though Laquan was moving around and was turning away from police, they didn't and did have a 3-inch blade on him, presumably used to slash tires or whatever it is he was doing. They didn't necessarily see him as a threat, and none of the eight police officers responding had a taser, which was an interesting point, but a good one to make, that, hey, why didn't they just tase this guy? Apparently none of them had that. So and bringing up the point of the conversation, it wasn't until the 16 bullets had been fired that the partner of Officer Van Dyke apparently turned to him and said, "Hold your fire."
Right.
And that's when that officer walked up and kicked the knife out of Laquan's hand.
All right. Now, this is there no audio on this tape?
No audio. According to Anita Alvarez, like I said, I haven't not seen the video yet. She said there is no audio, so you're only getting visual. There were a couple other area videos that didn't exactly show the shooting as it took place, including some surveillance video on a nearby building that didn't give them a very good feel for the situation, because it was just too far away. And there were some other videos on the police, it sounds like, on the other police squad vehicles, but weren't pointed directly at the shooting.
Anita Alvarez mentioned a term I've heard before, and that's Garrity issues. And then she went on to explain a little bit about what Garrity issues are. What's at stake here is the exact amount and type of police training that would go into a situation like this. And then the question would arise, did he, Officer Van Dyke, follow the police training that he was given? Do you know, Ryan, is police training, my guess is it would have to be fairly uniform in a case like this as to what to do when you have somebody who has what is perceived to be a weapon. He didn't follow that, obviously, but do we know, is that fairly uniform in the way that various police agencies handle the training?
I don't know as well as maybe some other people. I don't know if Steve Bertrand's listening in right now. He might know a little bit more about that. Rokan might know a little bit more about that. We do know that he was a 15-year veteran of the force. I mean, he was no rookie,
yeah.
A gun-happy rookie or anything like that. He had been with them for a long time. There are a lot of factors going into this, and they did bring in the FBI. And I think one of the things that was the most interesting is we found that not only had they had the video, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office had the video just weeks following the shooting, but they had actually handed it off to the FBI. So federal agents also had this video dating back to, I believe they said, November 14th or November 19th of last year.
Which is a good 4 to 5 weeks barely after this occurred.
Yeah, yeah. And so the next question question that comes up following the video is, if you had this so long, what took so long in you coming to these charges?
It's a good question. There's more questions on the phone line. We're at 312-981-7200. Let's talk to Jim first. Jim, you're on WGN. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. I got a couple questions for Ryan. I was a police officer for a long time. Even back when I was working, we carried tasers. 8 officers show up at this scene and nobody has a taser? That just, I don't know, is the city of Chicago that broke?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it seems like this could have been resolved had that been deployed or had that been used. But for some reason, among those 8 officers, four different squad cars, no one had a taser.
Well, there's a very simple thing in the very beginning of the police academy. It's called the escalation of force. You start with your voice. You go from that to your hands. You go to your stick. You go to the taser. And your very last resort is deadly force. And if anything that Alvarez is even close to being right said, this officer did everything wrong. I mean, if he started shooting within 6 to 8 seconds of him showing up, there was no verbal back and forth with this kid at all. Whether he was responding or not, there was no time to talk to him. He pulled his weapon and he shot the kid. And, I mean, I think in the whole time I was on the job, I only had my weapon out of my holster maybe 3 times.
Anita Alvarez went out of her way, Jim, and as a former police officer, you'll understand this. She said that in no uncertain terms, deadly force is allowed. Now, there's a huge difference between deadly force is allowed and opening with deadly force.
Absolutely. But the way she described it, you've got 8 officers there. This kid didn't, I mean, from the description, he didn't seem like he was all that large. If you've got 8 officers, you've got a containment perimeter. You can keep this kid in an area until somebody shows up with a taser. And I'm not going to, you know, second-guess the officer right away. But if what she's saying is true and if this video shows what she says is on it, none of the rules were followed. If he was as far away as the witnesses are describing it, there's about a 21-foot area that you want to have somebody with a knife can cover 21 feet fairly quickly. And that would be a time when you want to use your handgun, your rifle, your shotgun, whatever you've got available. But if this kid was not presenting a threat to them or a threat to anybody else, lethal force is not necessary.
Ryan, he seemed to be running away from Officer Van Dyke, not toward him. That's what the body language shows, right?
And it sounds like the other officers did not feel threatened. They almost seemed, according to what she said, surprised that he had started firing. But you make the point that the prosecutors are making. I mean, this is the case they will be bringing, obviously, is, you know, this was not necessary and didn't need to happen.
Jim, we appreciate the call. Oh, go on. Do you have one more thing?
Guys, take care.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
If you, one of the things you look at too with that is that with 8 other officers there, when somebody starts pulling a trigger, nobody else pulled the trigger?
No, he was the only one who pulled the trigger.
You know, it just, there's an old adage of the mob mentality that you're the other guys in the area, if they've got their weapons out as well, they must not have felt as threatened as this guy. Now, if he was closer or he saw something that they didn't see, that's one thing, but if you got 8 guys that didn't, 7 guys out of 8 didn't fire, there's something wrong.
All right, Jim, thank you so much, Jim, for your call.
Take care, guys.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. You're okay on time, Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
More to discuss with Ryan Burrow as we break down what Anita Alvarez told us earlier, State's Attorney Anita Alvarez, at a press conference. If you want to chime in, we're at 312-981-7200. Any questions or comments will be taken there. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder. Wendy will be back with us on Monday. Ryan Burrow is here. We're talking about the press conference that happened earlier. State's Attorney Anita Alvarez went through an extremely detailed timeline of the events of a little over a year ago. This was the shooting of Laquan McDonald by Officer Jason Van Dyke. We're taking your questions, your comments at 312-981-7200. You can call us there. You can text us there. We'll get back in a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, Ryan, to the actual case itself. But let's talk about the potential of what's there for tomorrow. Go ahead. What do we anticipate tomorrow?
Yeah, we don't exactly know at what point this video will be released. The court order said it had to be by Wednesday. Of course, we're coming up right on the holiday here. You know, tomorrow's going to be a crazy travel day. People are getting out of town for the Thanksgiving holiday. So, I mean, is this one of those things that they can kind of, you know, dump out at the end of the day and hope that, you know, maybe people don't pay attention to it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it's been a focus of attention for, you know, well over a week now. I don't think it's just going to go quietly. Every news agency is going to be covering this pretty well.
Who is this being released to?
Yeah, it's going to be made public. It all came as a result of a FOIA from an independent journalist, a freelance journalist who took the city to court and said, hey, I need this video. You know, as journalists, you can submit FOIAs for information, and usually it must come back to you in a timely form, especially public information. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes you end up giving up and don't think about the story anymore, and it just kind of falls by the wayside. Other times you bring it to court, which is the situation here, and so it will be made public. And you know that this one journalist kind of led the charge, and obviously everyone's going to be following now.
FOIA is Freedom of Information Act.
When you say made public, will it just be as simple as at some point tomorrow you can just go to a website and download it and watch it? Is that what it's going to be tomorrow?
That's a great question. Yeah, I don't know if police are just going to give us a link to the video itself. How exactly? Maybe this is one of those things where they give it to one person and then it just kind of filters out to everyone. But there's a pretty good feeling that by 10 o'clock, by the 10 o'clock news tomorrow night, everyone will have it. Now, how these media outlets will show it, that's another question, because it obviously is very, very
so
violent.
Disturbing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I know the question upstairs in the newsroom on 7 here is there's the chance of demonstrating, there's the chance of rioting. So the question is, what exactly is inciting the possibility of a riot, right? You want to go through that with
us? Yeah, and that's one of the things that we were thinking of. If this does indeed have the effect that it's believed to have, where, you know, people will come and they will be outraged and this will bring national attention, which it has to this point.
Sure.
What is it that the protesters are going to be angry over? Are they going to be angry over the video itself, just seeing this gruesome crime? Are they going to be angry over the length it took to charge this officer who was put on administrative leave for months and months and months while this was worked out? Is it frustration? Is it going to be kind of one of these protests that we've seen in other areas, like we're seeing in Minnesota right now, a Black Lives Matter, an angry group of people against just cops in general and, mm-hmm. and just frustrated about that? Now, the one thing I can say is if it is some of these things, Black Lives Matter, an organization angry at police, we've known about this for a while. So, I mean, it seems like it would only be the video that would kind of be spurring these demonstrations to this point. So we don't know how this is going to grow organically or forced or who the participants will be or how these demonstrations will be had. The city says it's prepared for demonstrations. It wants people to express their First Amendment rights. The superintendent said they are prepared to allow people to do that, but they're also prepared to, you know, crack down if they need to, if things get out of control. So it's very, very difficult because we are coming up here on Thanksgiving. It's possible that maybe something's prepared for next week or as we've heard, maybe some Black Friday protests as well.
There is a possibility because this family has received money in a civil suit.
Correct. $5 million.
$5 million. Mm-hmm. And that was achieved very quickly.
Yes.
There is justice being moved forward mm-hmm. for the police officer. He has been arrested. He is being held without bond with murder charges. Maybe this will allow people to feel like they're being heard and that justice is being served and there won't be the kind of violence. I would hope so.
Perhaps. I mean, each one of these cases that we've seen this year, these kind of blow ups, whether it be in Baltimore, like we're seeing right now in Minnesota, like we saw even to some extent in Missouri, they've all been very unique. very unique in the situations. That there's no one size fits all for the protest and demonstrations, because each case is different. You know, whether it be who the officer was or what the situation was, or, you know, even if it was a police situation. So, you know, we'll just have to kind of see how this one works out and who the players are. Obviously, the mayor had a lot of community leaders in his office yesterday trying to tamp down expectations or trying to tamp down not expectations, but, you know, some of the emotions to let people know, hey, he doesn't think that what is on that video is, you know, anything that's good or satisfying or anything that police should be doing. So we'll just see what the response is and who it comes from.
One other quick question. I have a friend who is an attorney, and he deals with malpractice cases. He tells me that if he's representing a doctor who's had 50 malpractice cases against him in the past, you can't use that in the court proceedings on him or her during that particular case. History has no place in deciding his malpractice. Officer Van Dyke has quite a few problems in the past, procedural problems. Are they allowed to use that against him in a court case, do you know?
Boy, that's a great question. I mean, obviously it may come up as they're trying to create this, you know, this background. I mean, he's able to say, hey, I'm a family man. I have two children.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if prosecutors somehow are able to work that in. I just don't know how they would be able to do
Interesting.
That.
Interesting. Yeah. What a day, huh?
Yeah, it's a busy one, and we'll see how this all works out with the video release tomorrow and who responds and who doesn't and how it's released and what it is we see. The video sounds it sounds incredible.
Tremendous. So, yep. Yeah. No question about it. Thank you, Ryan. That's Ryan Burrow from our news team upstairs at WGN. We'll take a quick break, and we'll find out what Roe and Anna have next. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN.